Hi, everyone. So welcome to another episode of the Coaches Close Clients podcast. Today, we have the lovely Autumn here with us, who is the host of the Wealthy Babe podcast and founder of the Bossy Babe brand and Facebook Hub, and overall a business and money coach for the online coach who's craving a business, life, and bank account without limits. And she's also a self-published author. So thanks so much for joining us today and sharing your gifts and your story with our audience.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel truly honored to be here.
Awesome. So to start off with, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your journey and kind of how you got to where you are now?
I'm going to give it as Cliff Notes version as I possibly can. My journey into entrepreneurship started about, I'd say about 5 years ago. And it started with network marketing. It started in the health and fitness industry, actually. And I had built my business primarily online. And after about a year, I had decided to take on group fitness training program or certifications, and we started, myself and my boyfriend, I say we, as if you guys know yet, myself and my boyfriend actually started a personal training business. And how this all kind of works together is when we had done that in person, and I had built this business online, I had recognized that I had built, yes, a very successful network marketing business online, but I had built our business in person to be really successful through my online presence as well. And I fell so much in love with entrepreneurship and being in charge of my schedule and my life. And something opened up for me because, I mean, of course, I was in university for actually a business degree and around marketing, which is funny enough. I dropped out after 4 years and I was working in the wedding industry on top of, I mean, I served in the past. I had many other jobs that you just, you know, you pick away at as you're growing up, you're figuring out yourself. Anyways, digress here. I had these jobs and I did these things and they fueled my passion for a while, right? Like I felt lit up. I loved working hard. I loved being in my energy. I loved being able to provide service and do good in the world. Like I loved when a woman came into the wedding shop and I was able to bring her dreams into reality and be able to show up at like a boss and just like slay her event because it was decor and like the cover, the chair covers, the head table, like the backdrops, all that kind of stuff, like the beauty of the event. And I loved all of that. Like that was, I love working hard. That was never the reason why I was drawn into entrepreneurship, is because I wanted it to necessarily be easy. But I love entrepreneurship because I realized what opened up for me. So I started online through a network marketing business. And as I grew it through, I guess it doesn't really matter too much like where exactly it grew it there. But I'm just trying to kind of like, we have a quick amount of time, so I'm trying to make sure I get the most important parts of all this. But right. Essentially, after about 4 years of working this business, some things started going not in the direction that I desired. They were going in the different direction that I had envisioned. By a network marketing business, I wouldn't say it started to fall away, but the universe started to bring up situations where the doors started to close. And this happened in alignment and exact divine timing with everything that was where we were teaching out of our fitness classes, our personal training business. We were leasing out of a facility and a lot of things were not working so well in that place either. We were overworked, underpaid, injuries all the time. We had full classes. It was incredible. The fire, like I had so much fire in being able to teach these classes, but everything at every single corner was telling me that this is not the place that I'm supposed to be. Our relationship was falling apart. We weren't like, there was just, it was work, work, work 24/7. We were working 15 hours a day. And eventually I started to look at like my life and all of the things and realize it doesn't need to be this way. Like I don't need to be working for $5 for a class. And I don't need to be serving somebody for a year for $40 commission. Like, what am I doing? Like this, I'm making my life harder than it needs to be by working a job, going to university full time, working with these people and having zero boundaries in my life, in my business, in my inbox. And I'm serving these people. I'm undercharging my worth and I'm overgiving because I care so much about what I do. I care so much about the people that are coming into my network, but none of this is being reciprocated. None of this is actually benefiting me in the way that my family deserves. And it was actually in divine timing that it always is. And when all this stuff started to happen, we had just come back from a company trip with the company that I was with, and everything like just kind of fell apart in quotation marks. You know, it all happened for a reason, but in the moment it felt like life was out to get me, right? Like, how could this be happening to me? How are we going to pay our rent? How are we going to pay our bills? Like, how are we going to train people? We have all these people that are looking for us to help get them to their goals, and they've given us this money, and now we don't have a facility. We have nowhere to train people. And that was devastating. It really felt like life was happening to me, and it was my greatest blessing. It was the best thing that could have ever happened, because what I realized is that for such a long period of time, for 4 years, I was building events for people, for the company in the province. I was creating events. I was leading. We were leading like on stage and doing trainings all the time there. I realized that I was hosting and creating programs for the people in my downline around leadership. And I was hosting calls. I was doing one-on-one training and one-on-one coaching. I would sit in my car. Oh my gosh. I'd sit in my car for like 2 hours at a time. And I would talk these girls on my team, like through their life struggles and what they were going through in their business and their fears and their limitations. And I did all this stuff just like to be back, you know, like backstab, like how much longer, and be like, oh, actually, I don't feel like you really did anything. So I'm going to join your coach, and I'm going to join your upline. I'm like, dude, are you for real? Like, are you for real? So eventually I started just to figure out and realize like, it doesn't have to be this hard. I'm not against hard work, right? Like, I like to work hard. I like to put my passion, my soul into all the things that I do. However, where you're supposed to be, it should feel like you should feel lit up there, right? It should be coming more, like these clients should be drawn to you. You should be able to feel excited to show up and do the things that you're doing. It shouldn't have to be like you are, I'm trying to think of an analogy here, like you shouldn't have to be clawing and scraping for you to actually be able to get by in life. It's like, we are actually meant to have beautiful abundance. We are meant to have everything that we desire, but we block ourselves and we stop ourselves. So in the midst of all this happening, a book fell to the shelf at me. It was She Means Business by Carrie Green. And it opened up my mind to realize like, holy shit, like there are actually people in the world who are doing this work. Like there are people in this world outside of like Tony Robbins. Cause like I knew the big names, right? Like I knew Tony Robbins. I knew a lot of the other people who had like Lewis Howes, like I knew about these big names, but I didn't understand that there was a world of coaches and women out here where they were serving women on a level that I would have needed at that time in my life. And so shortly after that, I had the opportunity to join a group coaching program, and I had never invested at that level in my entire life, but that's where everything started to shift and change. And I realized that I actually had the capacity to take what I was doing for the people for free for many, many years inside of my network marketing business. And I could actually charge good money for what I know and create this space of transformation for people. And for the big chunk of time at the beginning, I was nervous to step into my power. I was nervous to step in to charge my worth. I was nervous to actually put myself out there as a leader and as an expert. And I think I dabbled a long time before I had a coach of my own, like a one-on-one coach where she could really dive in and help me see my brilliance and help me narrow in on my craft and be able to be really good at serving women in the way that felt good to me. Mm-hmm. I was kind of floating around for a while, and I wasn't speaking my truest truth. I was kind of helping and serving anybody and everybody. And it was when I really started working with her. Actually, I'm going to just pause it for a second. If anybody that I know has heard this before, then they're going to know this story. But I feel like it's a very important piece of my story is that at the time, about a year ago, so February of last year, when I first invested in my one-on-one coach, I found out I was pregnant 5 hours earlier, and it was a high ticket price. Like I'm investing in it in a high ticket coach who at this time was more than I'm paying in rent in my apartment. And that scared the living shit out of me. But what I realized there was that that was the ticket of transformation for people. For such a long time, I was undercharging people, thinking that if I'm giving them a deal and a good rate, that I'm helping them get ahead. I'm giving them the ability to better their life and to do great things with it. And when I realized I'm doing all these consultations for free, and the people in my network, in my downline, the people that I know, they're not taking this work seriously, I realized what a freaking big mistake mistake I had been making for so long and what the power of money in a transaction could do. And that shifted my entire work and my studying and my essence and my being and everything that I became obsessed with knowing and learning about over the last year. So everything that has to happen in the past ultimately led me to be in this space right now where I'm talking about money and I'm helping women to remove the guilt and the shame around being able to charge their worth and to be able to have a business, to have a baby, to have all the things that they want, to be able to receive a life of pleasure and success and fun and happiness and be able to step into what it is that they truly desire without, you know, fear, or I guess not fear, fear is, it's going to exist, but with courage and with bravery and the knowing that they get to have it all.
That's so powerful. I love that. So why do we block ourselves for so long? Why does it feel like, you know, people are kind of stuck in the same place of scraping by, kind of, as you were saying, instead of kind of allowing ourselves to receive? Why do you think that is for a lot of female coaches and people in general?
I think what it ultimately comes down to is that we attract and we receive what we believe that we are worth. So, and not even just worth, but what we're ready to receive. So if we don't have something in our life, if we're not receiving it, it's because we don't believe that we're worthy of having it. We haven't quite decided yet that it is ours, it's meant for us, that it's our destiny, that we are supposed, like, if I'm not truly believing fully in, like, my power as a coach, if I'm not truly believing in my worth behind the price and the investment that I have for a program or for my one-on-one coaching, and I don't truly believe that I can have that money, that my work and my energy and my container and just the shifts that people get when they're around me is worth that, I'm never going to stand behind that price. I'm never going to actually put it out there. I'm going to sabotage sales calls. I am going to over-deliver. I'm going to oversell myself. I'm going to fumble all over my words. I'm not going to be in my heart, and I'm going to be in my head. And we do this all the time, whether it's like, you can, I think every single woman can look at any area in their life and see in the places where they've actually allowed themselves to receive less than what they're worthy of and less than what they deserve. And it's all because we're not in alignment and in the frequency to say, I'm fucking deserving of that. I'm worthy of that. My work is worth massive compensation. My energy is worth massive compensation. Because I exist, I am worthy of massive compensation. We do this all the time because we want to confirm to ourselves that either things need to be harder than they need to be. We need to confirm to ourselves that things have to be really strenuous, hard work, that we have to struggle. I think as women too, especially, I've learned this a lot more since becoming a mom, but I think it's so ingrained in us, especially through society, is we are supposed to be this martyr and we are supposed to be the person who self-sacrifices for everybody else around us. And then when we become a coach and we step into this realm, we can carry this, it's almost like there's shame around having what we want because we're supposed to be doing good in the world. And so how dare we have good and beautiful, big, audacious, like, lives, and we have abundance, because that would mean something ill about us. And it's been beautiful work that I've been doing with my clients and speaking about so much in being able to be this person that where you can receive everything it is that you want and you desire in your life because you're worthy of it, not because you have to do something, not because you have to be more, not because of anything. You don't need a certification. You don't need a degree. You don't need these things behind you to say that you're worthy. As soon as you flip this switch, and it really is that easy, because someone's going to listen and say, but how? Right? But how do I do it? It's literally an internal switch that happens, that clicks, when you realize that the only thing standing between you and having what you want is yourself and every single limiting belief and fear and piece of judgment that you put in the way before you can actually hold in your hands what you want.
Wow, super powerful. So can you share a little bit about some of your ways of overcoming those limiting beliefs and kind of just some tips that people can take away?
Absolutely. So the first thing that's really important to me is, and that I do with my clients, is awareness, right? We have to bring it to the surface. We have to become aware that these feelings and these limitations exist. And sometimes you only get them by actually taking messy action and doing the thing, right? You decide, okay, I'm going to do it. And then you feel resistance and you feel fear. And what happens is a leader really is going to be willing to dive into it. And that means you go first. You start asking yourself the questions. You know, why am I feeling resistance here? Why am I telling myself that I can't have this? What is standing in my way? What am I afraid of? What am I scared of happening if I have this? If I have this and I achieve this level of me, if I achieve everything that I desire, if I get what I want on the other side of this fear, what am I going to lose out in my other, like, what do I have to let go of? And sometimes it's a story, right? A story of struggle. It's a story of victimhood. It's blaming other people for why we don't have what we want. And that means that we have to take full radical responsibility and ownership over our lives, over what we want, over our desires, and over our business. And I feel like that's a lot of the reasons why we kind of dip our toes in and we don't like fully plunge into the cold water, is because it's easier to put that blame on somebody else. If it fails, if you launch the program and it flops, if something happens, you don't have to carry that blame. And so we allow ourselves to play safe and we allow ourselves to dim down. So the first thing is awareness. It's creating clarity. If you're feeling like you want to do something and you're feeling like this pull in your gut, something's like nudging you and it's saying like, I don't know, listen to it. Ask yourself, like, what's coming up? Why are you feeling resistance? What's the fear? And my next thing that I always seem to say is walk with your fear. Tell your fear, hey, fear, I see you. I see you. I hear you. I feel you. I get that you're trying to keep me safe. I get that you're trying to keep me comfortable. I appreciate the fact that you're trying to keep me from getting hurt and feeling pain, but I am so ready for this. I'm so ready for what's on the other side of these clients. I'm so ready for what's on the other side of launching this program. I'm so ready for what's on this other side of putting this book into the world. I'm so ready for what's on the other side of launching this event or hosting the summit or going on this podcast or launching. Like, I'm so fucking ready for it. And when you step into this place where you can kind of talk yourself into this and allow yourself to be the voice that you're hearing instead of all of the fears and limitations of the people around you, because the fear that you're carrying is not your own. The fear that you're carrying is the fears of probably your parents or your spouses or your coworkers or somebody else around you. You can separate yourself from it. But you have to, as long as you're identifying with your struggle, as long as you're identifying with your fear, you're always going to be in living in your fear. So the trick, you know, I quote trick, is to separate yourself from it, to look at it like zoomed out, right? As if it's just this thing you're holding, mm-hmm. as if it's like a ball that got thrown your way. Mm-hmm. I think Brené Brown said this actually really beautifully on her documentary that she just launched, or it just came onto Netflix, is this essence and this idea of like a ball, right? It's like, picture your fear being this ball and your fear, like somebody throwing this ball at you, telling you why you can't have it or why you can't do it or why it's so far out of reach. And your job isn't to hold the ball and to hang on to it and to play with it and juggle around with it. It's to drop it down and step over it, right? But we kick it and we play with it and we hold it and we hang out with it and we carry it on as if it's our own. And then other people's baggage and other people's balls, right? Thought how that sounded. Other people's like fears, it becomes our own. So our job is to take that ball and set it down and just walk all over. It's like, see it. Hi, thanks. We don't have to catch it. Mm-hmm. So if it means visualizing it and seeing it in that way, then that's because everything, I journal. I love to journal out. I love to just put pen to paper and get it out of my head, because the second that I put it onto paper and I actually have a conversation with myself, like, hey, universe, hey, God, hey, source, like, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on. I can't, you know, I'm thinking this, I'm launching this, but this is the thought that's going through my head right now. And this is what's happening. Well, why am I feeling like this? Well, would this ever exist in any, like, why am I even feeling this way? Like, I just talk I talk it out as if I'm talking to a friend, you know, like, and I'm able to see on paper how crazy these thoughts are. Like, these don't actually exist. They're bullshit. There's no reason why I can't have the things that I want, but I get to see physically on paper that the only thing standing in my way is me. And if I'm standing in my own way, then I get to look at and decide, how bad do I want it? And why am I making all this shit mean something about me? My work here is about other people. My work is about these women who need me. And if I'm in my head, I'm not doing my job and my purpose here. So I hope that kind of answered it.
No, that was really awesome. And I love that analogy of the ball. I think that's so accurate.
Yeah, it's a beautiful way for us to kind of like visualize and actually see what it feels like that our, like, we're not born into this world with fear. Like, if I look at my daughter, Louie, well, her name's Eloise, but we call her Louie. When I look at her, she was never born into the world with fears. But if I started to talk about why, I'm just trying to think of something that we all can kind of relate to. If I start to talk about, if I go to the grocery store and I start penny pinching about the numbers and the money and the budget about what we're going to spend there, she's going to start naturally thinking, oh, maybe there's not enough to go around. Maybe there's not enough. Maybe we're struggling. Maybe we're just getting by. Mm-hmm. It's humans, our innate ability. It's our response is survival. So she's going to start to feel that. And that fear wasn't her. She wasn't born with that. That's something that she got from me. So my sole responsibility is to work through my fear. So I'm not passing it on to anybody else, but it's for me, it's also my responsibility to recognize that, is this fear my own? Did I actually have this? Is this actually something I'm afraid of? Am I actually worried that I'm not going to be able to be okay? Am I actually worried that if I make this investment, that all the money's going to fall away, that I'm not going to make it back, that I'm not going to be able to pay my bills? Like, do I actually believe that? Or is that all just bullshit? Because it's somebody else that my mom said that when I told her I was going to invest. Maybe she asked me, well, are you going to be okay? Like, are you worried? Like, you know, are you going to make that back? That's a lot of money. Gets in her head.
Yeah.
You know, that's not our burden to carry.
Yeah. Parents suck sometimes.
It's like, we love them, but you know, the reality is like, this is the first generation where it's not like this anymore. Like we know different, we have different opportunity. The amount of personal development, I almost feel like with how much access do we have to it nowadays, like if people are still struggling, if people still aren't doing the growth work, it's like, dude, it's everywhere. It's free. You have podcasts, like you have everything at your fingertips to change your entire life. And this is the first generation that we have. Like, this is why our job as women, especially like if we're just, whether we're deciding to have children or not have children, the work that we're doing is impacting every other generation, the people that we know and the children that are coming after us, whether it's like your nieces or your nephews, if it is like friends or whoever it is, like, we are I know that the work that I'm doing is going to change. She's never going to have the same fears and the same thoughts that I had or my mom had from her grandma growing up. Mm-hmm. She's never going to have that reality. And that's beautiful, but it's also intimidating for a lot of people because now we have to take a lot of responsibility over our life. We can't just like slide through, you know, and just like play it safe.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, I think this is such a beautiful place to end off. So if people want to keep learning from you, keep getting your awesome energy, where can they do that?
Yes, absolutely. I would love that. You can come hang out. I mean, you heard on the very start of the episode, I have a podcast called The Wealthy Babe Podcast. I have a Facebook community called The Boss Babe Club, and you can come find me on Instagram at bossbabe.xo. You can add me or become a friend or follow me on my personal Facebook page on Facebook, obviously, just Autumn Benset, and come hang out there and hopefully connect more and get to know you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.